Good morning. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ and want to thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. If you have any questions concerning the things that you hear on this broadcast, please feel free to write me at 232 South College Street, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. We also, at the end of this broadcast, will give you our service times, and we cordially invite you to any of all of these services. We have been looking at the subject, the kingdom. Is it a future event, or has it already come to pass? We spent a great deal of time showing the prophecy concerning the kingdom and the passages that demonstrate it was fulfilled in the days of the Roman Empire in the first century in Acts chapter number 2. We've also looked at the throne promise of David, and last week we discussed the Abrahamic promises to Abraham, the land and the nation promise, showing that both had been fulfilled and that God had been true to his word. This morning, we want to begin a study in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, along with Revelation in chapter 20, that we will look at later in this series, are two of the most used passages of premillennialists to support their doctrine. On every hand, one can hear people talk about the signs of the time and the imminent return of the Lord. Most of these people base their predictions on Christ's return on Matthew chapter 24. Many others are confused over the meaning of Matthew 24. Commentators have added to such confusion with their prophetic speculations. Even in recent times, Mr. Harold Camping, predicting the end of the world, said that he had his formula figured out by looking at prophecy. And of course, May 21st came and went. Again, men are wrong when they try to give human theories and human theology to biblical truths. In this study, we will emphasize some key verses that will help us to understand the entire chapter. The time text. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Matthew 24:34. This is a very important passage. This verse quite naturally divided the chapter into two sections. Section 1 speaks of the events which were to befall the contemporary generation of Jesus Christ. The second section relates to the events that will occur at the second coming of Christ, and should be taken in context with the study of chapter number 25. From the statement of verse 34, it should be obvious that everything mentioned as in the previous verses were to be fulfilled before the contemporary generation would pass away. What is the meaning of generation? Some teach that the term generation conveys the ideal of race, nation, or Israel. These believe that Christ intended to teach that Israel as a nation would not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Such a definition of the word generation is not warranted here. Wherever the word generation is used in Matthew, it means a contemporary race, people living at the same time, the generation then living. It is from the Greek word gena, G-E-N-E-A, that refers to a specific time period or ages, the time ordinarily occupied by each successive generation according to the Greek lexicon Thayer. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, hence the sense of the word is that the average lifetime of a man, 30 to 100 years. In Matthew 11, verse 16 through 19, Jesus speaking of those living in his day who criticized John for his fasting and Jesus for his eating and drinking. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 45, generation was used four times. Jesus spoke of that present generation. In Matthew 16, verse 4, you'll see similar to earlier verses in Matthew chapter 12. Also see Matthew 17, 14 through 18, especially verse 17. Matthew 23:36 is practically identical to Matthew 24, verse 34, and it stands on its own context. No other generation could be met but the one that was living at the time of the Lord when he was on earth. Thus the understanding common to all these passages in Matthew, where the word generation appeared that it is of a contemporary race, people living in the same time of Christ, the generation then living. It is further emphasized by the demonstrative pronoun this. It is this generation, not a generation or generations in the future, but this generation. Are there corroborating texts? Yes, there are. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus denounces the hypocrites of the scribes and the Pharisees. He said in verse 32, Jesus exhorts them, "Fill ye up the measure of your fathers." Jesus was speaking of the cup of iniquity of the Jewish nation. The cup was filled to the brim when the Jewish nation crucified the Son of God and persecuted the apostles and prophets. Now note Matthew 23:20-35 and 36. Matthew 23:35-36. I will read them. 30, beginning in verse number 35. "And on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Merari, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Surely I say to you that all these things will come upon this generation." Notice the emphasis, this generation, not on some future generation, but on this generation. John the Baptist warned that the nation that the axe was at its root, Matthew 3:10, that generation, not one to come. Jesus further emphasized the prophecy by stating, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away," in verse number 35 of Matthew 24. The transition text of this chapter is in verse 36. "But of that day or hour no one knoweth, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only." Now, ladies and gentlemen, what time is that talking about? The premillennials would have you believe that Jesus himself doesn't know when he's coming. That's true. He doesn't know when he's coming back at the end of time. But he did know the time that he was talking about in the first 34 verses of Matthew 24, because he was prophesying about something. He was telling about a future event that was coming. It was not his second coming. It was another event, and we will talk about it and show in the text. In verses 1 through 34, Jesus speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. In verse 35, Jesus affirms the certainty of his words. Jesus has given a detailed answer to their question, "When shall these things be?" Jesus declared these events would occur within the present generation. Now in verse 36 begins a new subject, his second coming and the end of the world. "But of that day and hour," familiar expressions depicting the end when Christ comes with his holy angels to reward his saints and pass final and complete judgment upon his enemies, according to Matthew 24, verse 3. Other passages using this expression. Matthew 7:22, in Matthew 11:22, and John 5:28-29, when Jesus said that all that are in the grave will hear his voice, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation, and those who have done righteous to the resurrection of life. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, and in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, and 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, and also chapter 4 and verse 8, these same expressions are used. Christ now uses the expression to pass from a discussion of the destruction of Jerusalem to a discussion of his second coming at the end of his age when he would judge the whole world. We also read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There's a vivid contrast here, ladies and gentlemen. Section 1 begins in Matthew 23, verse number 36, and runs down through verse number 35. And all of that section is not talking about the second coming of Christ, not talking about the great battle of Armageddon, not talking about the 7 years of tribulation, not the great battle between good and evil, or is it talking about a war against Palestine and China, or Russia and Iran? Is talking about the destruction of the city and the people of Jerusalem. Definite signs to precede it. In the context, we will see that Jesus said there were signs. There were things that you could point to that tell you that the end was near. The time would be unusual because there would be wars and pestilence and famine. There would be a parable of a fig tree that would give a warning. Local judgment is seen in Jerusalem and Judea in verse 16. Judgment on the earth, physical place. The word days is plural in its use. There would be a time for flight. That means there would be a time to flee. That couldn't be the second coming of Christ. It won't do you any good to run. What are you going to run to? The whole world's going to be destroyed and go up a smoke, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 9 through 11, so there would be no reason to run. Section 2, beginning in Matthew 24 through 36, and running through chapter 25 through 46, is concerning the second coming of Christ. It's indefinite. Nobody knows when the end is. Normal times, marrying and normal occupation. Life will go on as it did every other time. It will come unexpectedly. The parable of the thief, it gives no warning. Universal judgment, it's on all nations, not just the nation of Israel. Judgment is in heaven. There is a, it's a spiritual judgment. No specific sign will be given of that time. The word day is singular in use, not plural. And there is no time for flight, nowhere to flee. Why? Because the whole world is going to be destroyed. There's going to be nowhere to run. Dear listener, there are two different things under consideration. And we will show you that when we go through the text verse by verse. The consideration of context, immediate and remote, is certainly important as a proper understanding of Matthew 24. Indeed, strong language is used in this chapter, but strong language is used by the prophets of the Old Testament also to announce the destruction of Gentile nations and the prophets. Should not our Lord have used the same type of language to announce the destruction of what was once His chosen nation and the center of true worship? Paul spoke of the fall of the Jews in Romans chapter 11 and how this would work to the salvation and the riches of the Gentiles. The witness of John the Baptist. When the scribes and Pharisees came to be baptized of John, he said, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Matthew 3:7. John spoke of the visitation of God's wrath upon the Jewish nation in Matthew 3 verse 10, and the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The time of God's retribution was so near that the axe was at the very root. Only repentance would spare them. And the words of Jesus in Matthew 23:33 are similar to those of John. The Jews were cast out in Matthew chapter 21. The Jewish nation was cut off in Matthew 8:11 and 12. In John chapter 4, Jesus, speaking to the Samaritan woman, told her that the earthly Jerusalem was not to be the center of true worship in the new dispensation. The parables of Matthew 21 teach that the Jew and the Jewish nation would not possess the kingdom because they had the wrong heart. In Matthew 28 through 32 of that chapter, Jesus taught that the publicans and harlots would go into kingdom before the Jews did. In 33 and 30 through 35, Jesus said the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to another nation. Indeed, the kingdom would be taken from the Jews and would be cast out for their unbelief. And then you have the final debate. Next week, When we again look at this subject, we're going to look at the final debate of Matthew 22. We're setting the background for Matthew chapter 24, and we're seeing the transition into Matthew 24. And then we will look verse by verse to show that Matthew 24 has absolutely nothing to do with the end of time, but it is the destruction of Jerusalem.